me, Josh, your host, Kenny B.
That's right.
What's going on, bud?
And they got your intro music back. I know everything's right
I
for
know.
You now. Yep.
Except last week when we were having in-depth conversations about losing wagers and we were cussing, and then I get the tap on the shoulder and says, you guys are on.
So right. That's always unfortunate.
So but. I think if you listen to the show last week, you actually might have missed the entire first minute, and we just kind of came in. So with that being said, there was some bitterness in the air. I'm Kenny B., your host. Make sure you follow the show on Facebook at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. At the end of the show, we're going to post all of our picks like we do every week. We missed one week, and we took a real brunt of ridicule for it, so that won't happen again. We had a pretty good week last week. I went 2-2 on what I posted earlier in the week, but then I did have three added games that I added right before the night before.
Yeah, I saw those. Those underdogs ripped it up.
How they do?
North Texas
and
Duke.
I had three of them. How they do?
I just remembered the two, North Texas and Duke.
3-0. I'll just 3-0. That's right. It's a little hash. What do they call it?
Fine. I was already going to give you kudos for the ones I remembered. What was the third that I'm missing?
I don't remember. Miami.
Okay.
In the pros. Dog outright winner. So that being said, Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Not too much, Ken. Right here doing my William Hill College Pick'em contest. So, like you said, there's a bunch of games on tap. I'm hoping to keep my head above water in this thing.
So Josh has entered the college contest. $500 entry fee, 7 games a week. Versus the spread. We're going to get to where you stand in that right now. Mark the Kid Vespi to my left.
Ken.
What's going on, buddy?
Just hanging out, watching some college football, baseball. Red Sox clinched last night.
Yeah, a little UCF laying 14, jump out to a 14-0 lead. You think you got a cigar game, and then here comes Florida Atlantic. They score the next. Now it's 14-14. Are you comfortable right now? A little in-game wager, Mark?
I already did some in-game. I'm on the wrong side, but that's all right. There's plenty of time left. And UCF, they're hard to stop from scoring, so they should get a bunch of points here.
All right.
And maybe cover this, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it is. All right, so let's recap a little bit about last week, Josh. I know, let's talk about your contest. Where are you at on the year? What's the leader at? And tell us about your card last week, because I'm going to use that as kind of a lead-in.
Do you know where the leader's at?
Yeah, you can look it up.
That's cool.
In fact, I believe the top scorer right now, they post the standings. It's pretty cool about the William Hill contest because they have everything, even what the top picks were last week, at weekly records versus season and all that. So, yeah, right now I'm 10-4, having gone 5-2 each of the first 2 weeks. And I believe there's like a couple people, I think maybe five players at 11-3. 11-3 is the current top overall score. What's interesting is that each of the first 2 weeks there's been no perfect cards, which, believe it or not, is kind of unusual. There's like 200 players. Usually, a couple of them go 7-0. For some reason, each of the first 2 weeks, nobody did it, 6-1 being the best. And I told you guys before the show, I had good hopes for my picks worked out last week. I got there on a couple. Like, for instance, I had Purdue plus 6.5, but that wasn't looking good several times. They come back and beat the number, so you feel like maybe you got a little bit fortunate on one of them. But a couple that blew up, Notre Dame, I laid the 13.5 against Vandy. Somehow Vanderbilt hung in there the whole way, and then I put Nevada minus 3.5 on my card, and that was the second loser, which was unfortunate. So I guess the luck evens out, because I actually thought I was dead. With Purdue, they come back and make it a 3-point game ultimately, but Nevada's up 30-7. I'm starting to think, hey, I could do 6-1 here. My very last game of the night, there was Washington minus 6.5, and it's kind of funny because you go against Utah at home, particularly in a night game, they seem like they're impossible to get rid of. But what I liked, Mark, is not only did Washington outplay them and then kind of held them at bay, even though they still had trouble moving the ball for the most part. But I saw a little something in them. Utah is known as kind of a physical, borderline dirty team. There's some scuffling after the whistle all the time. And what I liked about Washington is late in that game, they weren't having it. They had a little swagger. I don't know if you saw the one player, Jake Browning, got his helmet knocked off with a hit. Looked like he was concussed. He gets up, he's talking trash to the guy. My point is Washington has a swagger here, and I think they're out to prove a point. And tomorrow night, I even got it circled here, even though they're playing Arizona State. Remember, that's the game they lost last year, and Tempe threw them off. I think they're going to put the beat down. I think Washington, I'm going to lay the 17 because I like what I saw from them last week.
But you don't like what you've seen from Arizona State?
Not at all. Yeah. Smokescreen. They always do that. That weird thing against Michigan State where you just knew that weird things happen. It's like that's seriously like the Twilight Zone in there. Like late at night in Tempe, bizarre things just go down. They have this weird mojo at home. They go on the road, it's a different thing, and I think they're done, especially
it's
now.
It's a weird line to me.
It
so
is.
I don't really like either side, but I hear what you said about
last
Washington.
Week against San Diego State with their quarterback out, and they went down there and lost to the Aztecs. I think Arizona State's done already. But.
Yeah, the Utah game, though, Washington was very physical, and they kind of took it to Utah's strength, and Utah had a hard time. Like they just cannot move the ball at all. And it was pretty evident that that game was going to end 21-7 about halfway through the third quarter.
Except for that pick six where the guy fumbled. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you knew that it was not going to be a lot of scoring on the Utah side. And they had to go for a fourth down a few times. They just couldn't get anything going. So that was a big game for Washington.
Yeah, I liked it.
Let me ask you this, though. Now, you should put up a $10 or $20 seven-teamer with your picks in case you go 7-0. What if you go 7-0? You'll be mad if you don't.
There's no reward. I'll just be happy that I move up the ladder so high. I know what you're saying, and I actually used to do that. But, Mark, the one difficulty here is to give you 25 games, right? So two sides, so there's a total of 50 options. And that's fine. But a lot of these, like last week, I've probably been 7-0. My favorite games were ones I gave out, Temple, for instance, against Maryland, 17-point dog winning by three. How about that for a call, Ken? Talking about college winners. That one won easily, and there was a couple others that I like that don't appear on the card, and so it's a little bit rough. So this is like – it's purposely, and I think Nick and those who put the contest together, I think they do it on purpose, and it adds to the challenge, but there's a degree of difficulty. Like every game here is a top conference, right? You can't sneak in there with like the one, say Sun Belt or MAC team, the best. They're all like top 25 matchups, and that's what makes it difficult. So when your favorite games aren't even on, that's why I usually don't do the backup parlay. But I know what you mean.
Yeah. I just mean if you were to go 7-0, you'd be like, rats, I didn't, throw up my 17.
Yeah.
But
let's talk a little bit about the Pat game, guys. I mean, we were at the game last week, and I had the I ended up with a substantial bet on the Pack. I ended up with a substantial bet on the over, and I ended up with a parlay on Pack and over. And the Pack jumped out to a 30 to 7 lead. You kind of think you got a cigar game there. You go, well, I mean, I can't lose both of these bets right here. But I mean, what happened with the Pack? I mean, they're going to Toledo this week, going against a really good Toledo team. Hopefully trying to get some revenge. But we know how the Pack plays when they travel to the East Coast. It's a 9 a.m. game their time, so basically it's a 6 a.m. game here. Going through the time changes, it's just I'm still the Pack's kind of where I thought they would be. I thought they would be 2-1 in this spot. If you listen to the show regularly, I have a big bet on the Pack over 5.5 wins, and I kind of thought we would be 2-1 right now. I thought that I had a chance to be 3-0. I really thought we'd go down to Vanderbilt and play a little bit better. They didn't play well at Vanderbilt at all. I've been to a couple games at Notre Dame. They didn't go to Notre Dame. They didn't play well when they went to Notre Dame. So it just seems like every time we travel back east, we just have a tough time. And now we're going against a Toledo team that's just a pretty good team. I mean, look at what Toledo did last week when they played Miami. It was a close game, a touchdown game in the second half. Then everything fell apart.
Miami was up 21-0, but Toledo got back in it.
Yeah, they got within seven twice in the second half, and then they couldn't capitalize and couldn't finish. But with that being said, Josh, where are we at? I'm still three games in. I'm still confused about the identity of the Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I hear you, Ken. And here's what's funny, right? Because we're talking about from the gambling perspective versus the X's and O's, and it's obviously they're tied in for us because the Pack plays well, wins our bets, we're all happy. And we could talk about the two separate issues. From the gambling standpoint, last week, and it's very rare that I don't really believe in homerism, particularly in the handicapping. It's rare that I really believe Nevada is a strong value side, but I was all over it last week saying, hey, I think three's light, surprise. I thought it was going to open up at like six. As Oregon State's in the conversation for worst Power 5 programs out there, in with Kansas, who's actually improved this year, and Rutgers, who might actually be the worst. But Oregon State's really bad. I mean, their turmoil, Stroud is the program right now, first-year head coach. And, yeah, I knew a few things. We saw some of their playmakers against Ohio State. I knew they could do some things. But I figured this was the type of game. Nevada had to make a statement, be a get-right thing. It's the bottom line is Nevada should have the better personnel, the home field advantage. And that's why I was all over lane. It's why I played it. And important, in the contest here, you only get, it's 10 weeks, 70 picks. They all count, right? So it's kind of huge. I made them, one of the contest picks. Bet them at -3. And Ken, as I told you later, though, I got a little scared off. Saturday I was seeing 3.5. I placed a couple other bets on Nevada money line, which eventually worked out all right. But when you see that 30-7, hey, this is about what I expected. You got to put him away. One thing I was a little bit surprised with Oregon State, and I didn't know. I wonder if he was hurt. The guy they brought in, Jake Luton, was the starter last year. I didn't know they were doing the platoon thing. When they brought him in, they instantly got better, and you could tell why they liked him. He's turnover prone, though. He holds the ball too long, and so he turns it over from sack fumbles and interceptions. But when the line holds up, he's got a great arm, throws it down the field really well. Oregon State started moving the ball real well. What I was disappointed in Nevada is after that 30-7 lead, it's more or less kind of like they stopped playing. And one thing that surprised me, they put together that drive, right, like the fourth quarter where it finally was You know, got to a one-score game. They went the length of the field, got a touchdown, but still, you know, couldn't get a stop. Oregon State comes right back down and scores, and ultimately you put yourself in position.
For a Brotzman field goal.
Right, and this surprises me, Ken, about Coach Novrell's reaction to everything, because ultimately you could say, all right, it doesn't matter, you pulled out the win, but you put yourself in a position where you were counting on a Division I kicker to miss a 34-yarder in order for you to get out of there, and thankfully it did. But the bottom line is you just got lucky with that one. I mean, Oregon State outplayed them completely in the second half.
They had over 200 – they had the yards in the game. I think they had a 200-yard plus.
Right.
Oregon State had 200 more total yards in Nevada.
Right.
And they controlled the time
right.
of possession.
And what surprised me the most, Ken, though, is what I heard Coach Norvell. I'm always looking for this stuff, like Musselman during the basketball, and you know, they do the live press conferences immediately after the game. You're seeing what everyone has to say. So I tuned in, and I was just surprised because he was saying how, oh, he couldn't be prouder, and this is the best day ever. Like, I really expected the opposite reaction because I'm sitting there thinking, if you're in their shoes,
you gotta say, we got to close.
You feel like you got away with one, right? Like, hey, glad we won, but that wasn't pretty. You know, 30-7, we got to put them away. But his reaction, it just struck me as bizarre because he seemed overly, you know, he just kept saying, oh, we're proud of what we did, this and that. I mean, for me, the biggest concern is that lack of defense because they just couldn't get off the field. Granted, you got a sack fumble at one point. I mean, you forced a couple turnovers. But still, with the game on the line, I just said, you know, the other team comes back, you give them some credit. But I would say after Nevada scored in the second half, their only touchdown, I thought then, if you get a stop and put it away, okay, then say you're proud of that. You know, we actually held them off. But you didn't at any point. You allowed another score, and you gave them the ball back again.
The worst interception I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
I mean,
that was my scoop pop.
You're
Mark.
Inside of the other team's – territory, you're supposed to be running the clock, you know, and to even call that play is egregious to me. But
well,
then to even execute it in the way they did, where he just threw it to the only man, there's not even anybody in
there.
There
was
pattern.
No receiver within
that's
literally
what I'm saying. He's not even in the pattern.
20 yards.
So it's just a awful interception by a veteran, sort of veteran quarterback. Yeah. I just want the Pack to start not making these stupid mistakes. I just want them to play a clean mm-hmm. ball, and then
yeah.
you can live with the outcome.
And the way that was going, Ken, I really thought we were headed toward that. The way I gave, you know, my analysis on the show last week, I thought it was playing out in that fashion. I really thought, you know, they were headed to possibly one of those, you know, like a 51-17 type of thing. Or, you know, I didn't really think – I didn't see them, you know, squandering the whole lead to the point where it got really nerve-wracking. I told Ken, you know, before the show, even it worked out. I mean, from the betting standpoint, because I was scared into taking Oregon State in the second half. The second half was a pick 'em. You know, they're down 9 at halftime. I left myself with an 8-point middle, and they won the second half by 6 points. So the betting and everything came out okay. But when we're talking purely X's and O's, I think when you're Coach Norvell, when you give just all these you know, platitudes about how happy you are, like, I would just say, hey, I was horrified. But, you know, maybe how about the first half? You're happy with the way you executed, the way you came out of the gate, but you can't be happy with the whole 60 minutes. How
well,
could
I think as long as they came out with the win, you know, there's plenty to be happy about. But, I mean, it's just tough to, you know.
But does
just
that
means
defense
you
scare you a little bit?
Oh, of course. Of course. But their defense has scared us for a couple of years now. You know what I mean? They're getting better in certain ways. They've been forcing turnovers. You know, I mean, in the first half they were – ball hawking everywhere. They were flying around, and I thought it was pretty good. But then, you know, you just never feel like any lead's safe, really.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen. I actually had meant to – I want to look in a little more to Toledo, which I will tonight, to see what, you know, position I'm going to take. Because we know typically they're at the top of the MAC. I actually think the best team in the MAC this year is Buffalo, by the way. You check them out. They're awesome. Check, and they're minus -6 tomorrow against Rutgers. But Toledo, you know, had a lot. You know, we all know, you know, Kareem Hunt, who's now on the Chiefs. He played at Toledo. They had a senior-laden team last year. They actually are young by their standards. Toledo seems like it's always in the MAC title game. I don't see them, you know, getting there this year. But as Ken kind of mentioned, against Miami last week, you know, they're getting like 14. The game closed at it, opened 10.5. But and they fell down 21 early, you know, and came right back. But and they're typically pretty good on their home field. You know, so they're going to want to, you know, bounce back and have a good showing. Is Nevada at plus 10.5? I just put it this way. Before, and I actually liked, you know, Vandy the previous week. And that sort of played out, you know, according to how I envisioned it. But with this one here, Mark, I just don't – I mean, I'll have to look into it. But I don't – based on the defense and everything you saw, I don't see me back in the Wolfpack in the betting, you know,
I just see a lot of
here.
Points. And I think in a game where there's going to be a lot of points, 10.5 is – a shorter number than it normally would be. I don't particularly like betting against the Pack because I like to root for them to win, but to me this is a bad spot for them. And they just have a lot of trouble going east, it seems. They'll hang out in that game, you know, in the first quarter, but then as soon as these teams take them over, I don't know if it's a conditioning thing or what it is, but it seems like they wear down on these East Coast games. And Toledo's going to score their points. I mean, Toledo's going to get their 40, I would think. So the Pack needs 30 to stay in it, I think.
Oh, at least. Sorry, guys, I'm back. I had to. Arnie States is here. Everybody, so I had to go. I had to go let him into the green room. He's got his comedy show here tonight. So sorry for that a little bit. You know, I actually have this game up here right here. You know, they're both going to get 35. What is the total in this game? Have they posted one yet, Josh? Have you seen one?
See that I haven't. I don't have it on the sheet here in front of me. I haven't seen one yet. In fact, either with college football, Ken, they usually come up with it pretty late in the process, and I haven't seen the an over under yet. So I can fire up the app as we speak and see what
Toledo's averaging 45 points a game at home. I mean, there's
But by the way, you know they beat like Sisters of the Poor or whatever their first week. I mean, that doesn't count.
I got it. I'm just looking at this game though, and I'm just hold on here. Let me get. I got to get back in. I got to get back on top of things. Get back on top of things. So, you know, Nevada.
So there we go, Ken. 67.5.
Over.
All right.
Over. What may can we get 20? Can we get 27 in this game? Because they're getting 40.
Yeah, it's a good question.
They're getting 40. They got.
What makes you so confident? Just the defense you saw last week?
The defense just not ready to step up. You know, the more I started really thinking about this game, I really liked Toledo in this game. Then I started thinking, and I was listening, to some some shows and trying to handicap the game. So let me pull the game up real quick. Do we have time? Or do I have to go to commercial break? Let's go to commercial break. We come back, I'll pull up all the stuff that I have on the Toledo game, and we'll continue talking about it after this commercial break. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back live to Club Count Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Talking a little bit about this Nevada-Toledo game. You know, we're talking, we recapped a little bit last week, about Nevada, sneaking out a win against Oregon State, even though they're absolutely dominated in the stat column, and then traveling to the East Coast, playing equivalent to a 6 a.m. game right here.
It's noon Eastern, 9 our time.
I thought
that's what their body clock would be. It would be 9 our time because it's a
noon
Eastern
kickoff.
I thought
it was a 9 a.m. Eastern.
It's 9 a.m. our time, so that's when we were going to watch it.
Excuse me then. 9 a.m. our time.
But still, your body clock, you're not used to playing at 9 a.m. either. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what their body clock would be tuned to.
I absolutely made a mistake, listeners. I apologize. I looked at that real quick. It's 9 a.m. our time, so it's noon there, 9 a.m. our time.
Correct.
So, anyways, with that being said, traveling back to the East Coast, points per game this year, the Pack's averaging about 39.7 points a game after three games. Toledo's only played two games. They're averaging 45 points a game. And on defense, if you look at these stats, guys, we're giving up 31.7 points a game, and they're giving up 26. It just looks like, total yards, both over 400 with Toledo at 463. This is just one of those games where I don't think it's going to be a grind-out game. I think there's going to be some long scoring. We can't stop the tight end. There's just so many things that are not lined up right for the Pack. And this is just a tough game. We have a huge game last week, squeaking out this win. Now we have to go on the road, play an early game, and just so much emotion was left on the field last week. Winning a game like that, Toledo last year at home, they scored 47, 54, 20, 48, 27, 37, and 45. I mean, Toledo scores at home, guys. There's nothing to make me think that we're going to be able to stop that attack. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. And one thing, I wish I'd done more because, there's all kinds of games, going on Saturday, and I'm doing some work-related stuff as well. I wish I had watched more of Toledo last week. I did keep my half an eye on the Miami game. I saw the score. I saw some plays. But that's what I'll do tonight because I mentioned I never want to go in uninformed. So I'll look it up. I'll see some thorough highlights and see exactly who Toledo has. But as you mentioned, Ken, I said once Oregon State put in their second quarterback last week, the guy who started last year, they couldn't – that's some matchups on the outside. It's pretty physical receivers. But it looked like in that regard, the Wolfpack was outmatched. They didn't have certain guys who could cover him. I mean, they kept throwing it to – what's the guy's name? Number 17. They kept throwing it to him on every play, basically, and he came down with it. And so I'm wondering if Toledo usually does have some pretty explosive playmakers, if they're going to provide that same level of matchup problem to Nevada that it seems like – I don't know if that's something you can fix in 1 week's time.
Yeah, and going – they gave up – Nevada's defense gave up two fourth and plus 10 yards on that last drive. And, right. And we're not talking about just like they got lucky to get it. We're talking about guys absolutely just running free,
right,
wide
right
open.
Over the middle, yeah.
Wide open. And I just think this Toledo offense is just going to have their way with our defense. You know, hopefully we'll be able to score. You know, but if you, but the thing about it is, Josh, is if you take out the first game of the year when Nevada fell behind 9-0 versus Portland State, what is the offense really shown this year, Josh? We go to Vanderbilt. I understand Vanderbilt's a pretty good team, you know, but we kind of threw up a dud there. And then you come back last week, we showed signs of life, but then we went away.
Exactly.
I mean, if we don't have the scoop and score right there, I mean, we probably lose that
exactly.
game.
That ended up being the saving kind of a deciding factor. At the time, it just looked like it was going to be, you know, extra window dressing on a potential blowout. I'm with you, Ken. That's what I said. I was surprised at Coach Norvell's reaction and that he just kept talking about just how proud he was, what a great game. I felt like for a football coach, I expected to see the opposite reaction where I expected him to get up there and say, yeah, we played half a game, and that's unacceptable. And that's what it felt like watching it. Of course, we know from the gambling standpoint, it was pretty frustrating, but also, you know, just from a pure football standpoint, it was pretty horrifying in that they literally let the whole thing almost slip away. Like you said, the only thing that really went their way in the second half is a Division I kicker missed a 34-yarder. And, yeah, there was wind, there was screaming opposing fans, or whatever. Scholarship kicker usually makes that. And
well, not to mention, Josh, the play before that, they asked him where he wanted it, and they ran the ball right to the spot where he wanted it.
But they also lost, like, 6 yards. You usually don't see a loss of that many. Like, yeah, just kind of, you know, the quarterback takes a knee. Like, the guy didn't do the kicker any favors. Still, it's one he's supposed to make, and let's face it, yeah, the kicker does his job. That goes through.
I mean, I'd have made it.
So that one goes through the uprights, though, and it's a whole different than what's Coach Norvell saying. I mean, that would have been an epic collapse.
Yeah.
That's where you can't be results oriented. That it still was a collapse. You just got lucky on the last play.
37.
That you didn't need to get lucky on.
He's trying to build a culture and turn around. I don't think he wants to say anything negative. You know,
I agree with that.
I don't think he wants to be too harsh on him. He got the win, you know, albeit some luck involved, a little bit of a collapse there. But, I mean, it's just maybe if he'd been there a few years and, you know, maybe be a little harsher on him, be like, it's unacceptable for us to, you know, end the game like that. And we got lucky. I could see him doing that. But second year coach, I mean, I didn't see the whole speech. So I'm just going off what you're saying, Josh.
All right.
You know, what's crazy, Josh, you know who Toledo plays next week? They're at Fresno.
Oh, okay.
Who's the Pack got on deck?
Air Force, I think.
Okay. So, I mean, just a regular conference opponent. I mean, no big rivalry or anything. This is a tough spot for the Pack. There'll be a lot of points.
Let me double check this, Mark. I want to double check that I'm giving the listeners and everybody the right information.
But still, you're playing Air Force, right? Obviously, that's a challenge at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Facing a team that's going to run it for 300 yards a game, yeah. Right?
So let me pull this up real quick here. But I'm pretty sure I was looking at it today. Mountain West. I'm pretty sure Nevada plays. They play Air Force next week. Let me get on.
I do think those kind of games do have an effect, oftentimes on that next week, overtime games or, you know, just intense endings like that. I think that can have an effect.
Yeah, and like you said, situational wise, I don't think it sets up well where, regardless of the outcome, it was a real taxing game emotionally. You had to get up to have that happen.
Can't hear you.
Lots of emotional ups and downs. And, yeah, to have a tough opponent on a cross-country trip and just kind of get ready for him, I don't think it bodes well for, real strong performance.
I agree. I hope the Pack hangs in there. I got a bet on Toledo already. I typically don't bet against the Pack. I'll usually bet their totals if I, you know, that way I at least have a bet on the game, but I can still root for the Pack. But
right.
This is a good spot for Toledo, in my opinion, so I already bet it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it. Like I said, we got the contest sheet in front of me, and you got to make 7, and there's a few I like. You're always kind of hanging on. The last couple can usually be difficult calls. I said last week I played Nevada. This week I am, you know, it's not set in stone yet, but I may have to jump in there. I might have to play Toledo.
I'm such a Pack fan in all
Holy
sports.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah, I'm such a Pack fan in all sports, Josh. That is so hard for me to do. But, you know, I'm looking at this total, and I'm just thinking, how does this game – if the Pack shows any life on offense, this game goes over. If the Packs can score 24 points, which they should be able to
get picked off.
Oh! This game's going to go over. So I'm only going to have the over in this game. And the Pack does open up conference play next week at Air Force. So
you probably bet it early. It's probably going to go up to 70.
Yeah. What is it right now, Mark?
67.5.
67.5. Yeah, I can't see that going under. So
although you checked the weather report too, though, I heard.
Oh, that's true.
There might be some rainy conditions. Yeah.
Well, there you go. We always forget that, listeners. Make sure you check. If you're going to throw a lot of money down, make sure you check the weather report. So, anyways, Josh. contest. I know you did a bunch of articles for Sportsline this week.
Yep.
You and Kid throw out some college selections that you guys are really looking at before we jump into the NFL.
So we'll get one that for sure I'm playing on the contest, and we'll play for cash also, hoping to even get a better number. But to me, this is probably, you know, my favorite game of the week, and that would be Kansas State getting plus, well, it's 16.5 now. It would be beautiful to get the 17, but at West Virginia, I did all my research, but I also know how, you know, this rivalry has gone down. But it turns out, though, even better than I expected. Over the last 5 years, every single game between these teams decided by 6 points or less. You know how K-State does it. They kill the clock, and make, especially against your finesse, you know, spread option teams like West Virginia. They're just a thorn in their side, like they used to do to Baylor when they were good, Oklahoma State, who they beat on the road last year. These teams can't take it, but K-State's like the one rough and tumble kind of old pro style team in a finesse oriented conference. And every game decided by six or less in the last 5 years, the most points Kansas State's ever given up in any game was 28, and that was last year to West Virginia. They lost 28-23, but the underdog seems to do well. But that's what they do. They limit your possessions. You know, K-State does the thing. They run the shot clock down before snapping the ball. They do all that, you know, kind of run-pass option stuff at the line of scrimmage, but they go on these, you know, 13, 14 play drives that kill half a quarter. You only get the ball a handful of times. They're talking about Will Greer for Heisman. It's crazy now. You know, he's actually like the second favorite to Tua in the betting. But and he's been on fire and everything. But the bottom line is, one, K-State just doesn't get blown out often, period, because of their style of play. Secondly, and they came around last week. They've been sluggish on offense. They got 41, so they're getting their offense in gear. And they don't get blown out by West Virginia. So take those points.
Yeah, the last couple games that I've watched between these teams, they've been, low-scoring, tightly contested battles. You know, the only problem I have is, like you alluded to there, Kansas State kind of got their scoring back a little bit last week, which is good because they can at times really have a hard time.
Yeah,
you know,
they were supposed to have a good offense this year. It was weird. They started real slow.
I mean, if they can get a couple touchdowns, you know, I see them covering that pretty easily because of the nature of their rivalry. But
and you're their late blooming team, though. K-State always is, right?
Yeah,
they come on.
I just know when I bet on Kansas State, they struggle to get points, and it's a tough watch when you got money on them.
I know, but also I know what you mean because it can be maddening. Yeah. You know what I found is even worse, Mark, is going against them, because the times I do that, you know what I mean, it just seems like they're always well coached. If you fade K-State, especially, you know, if you're taking a favorite side against them, well, they're nearly impossible to get rid of. So that's why, yeah, that's why I adopted.
I had them against Mississippi State earlier this year, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. They moved between the, you know, the 30s, right. No problem, and then they just
right. But they're really outmatched in that one.
They were.
Mark, I'll put it this way for you, though. I did the same thing, by the way, last year against TCU, and that was just stupid because I'd never been against TCU either. But I took K-State plus 7 at home. You know, TCU'd been struggling. But with all K-State's, you know, quarterback issues at the time, yeah, they couldn't even get a first down. And, I mean, they still kept it close for a while. But so just I guess what I'm saying is it takes the right opponent. And to me, this is that. Like, not a tough physical one. Mississippi State ran the thing for 350 yards against them.
Yeah.
What you need is the soft team. Like, what you need is your West Virginia or Oklahoma State in there that runs that spread option and just a team that, you know, K-State, I think it just buried, you know, give it to the fullback and get 5 yards in every play and, you know, eat half the quarter in every single possession that they have. So I still feel good about it. I know West Virginia, you know, has the firepower and everything. But, again, look at how many points you're getting. In K-State, you just even, a, you know, 34-21 gets you the money. I think they'll stay closer than that. So what else on our sheet here?
I actually overlooked something. What about these two games tonight? There's two great Friday night football games today.
Well, we talked about favorite ones for tomorrow, but what's remaining tonight?
Penn State, yeah, Illinois.
USC, right. So
Penn State, Illinois.
It's been 28. I think it's 27 now. Penn State at Illinois is coming up at 6 p.m. I did a whole thing on this for Sportsline, so I know what's going on. You know, Illinois is one of those things. They're usually pretty bad. They're better than usual this year. Almost beat South Florida last week. Should have. 14-point dog, up 12 in the fourth quarter. Pretty tough thing to swallow. They let South Florida basically go score, stop, score to end the game. Full length drive. Illinois couldn't get anything going, and then they gave up the winning touchdown late. But they hung in there against a team full of athletes. We know what Penn State can do, right? Trace McSorley is also high in the Heisman voting in the odds right now. But Illinois, it's interesting because they had a transfer. A.J. Bush, a senior, one of those graduate transfers from Nebraska, was their quarterback. He's pretty good. He got hurt in the second game, and they actually started a true freshman in the last game, and he did all right. But the senior is a game-time decision, so it remains. That's why I think I'm going to in-game it. But I think if the senior Bush plays, they'll be in decent shape. But, Mark, to me, this is one of those, And Penn State's been doing their thing. Like, they got scared by Appalachian State in the opener, just crushed, you know, Kent last week. It was 63-10. And I just see this kind of going one of two ways. It is either, you know, Penn State by 52 or Illinois keeps it a one-score game. But another thing Illinois has been doing really well is they've been running it really hard. They had 200, and that could be the matchup of the game, because I think they had like 240 rushing yards against South Florida. That's how they kept, you know, the game close and didn't get out of hand. They're going to want to do the same, but Penn State's defense is on a whole, right, probably even a different level. So you wonder if you can get that kind of production. But it's tough to get in front of such a good offensive team like Penn State, but wouldn't be surprised to see Illinois hang in there.
Well, this is just one of those games, you know, these Thursday or Friday night games, I think they're a little different than your Saturday afternoon. You know, I think there's a little bit different level of hype for the home teams, you know, so I think you give Illinois about best effort, you know, but I know Illinois has a couple guys missing on defense that are key, which could lead to a lot of points by Penn State if, you know, if they're clicking, but you know, Penn State has Ohio State on deck, and so I think they're
right, that's a good angle to squeeze,
good look ahead game, you know. Yeah. I know what I, from what I've heard, Penn State wants to jump out ahead early if they can, so I made a play on the first half over 32.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because I think the pace of it will be as such in the first half. I don't know if they'll get the points, but I feel like they'll be trying to put up some points early. But other than that, you know, I just 28's a lot of points in this game. Illinois can be scrappy, but they can also look bad at times. One of those things.
Who did you say Penn State had on deck?
Ohio State.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the issue, Mark, though, is that's one thing that worries me, too, is that Illinois, I said they took it to the wire last week against a better team. It's hard to count it. You know what I mean? I'd almost like Illinois a little better if they were blown out last week.
No doubt.
It's tough to do that 2 weeks in a row.
I was pretty impressed. I mean, South Florida's a damn good team.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. For the record, I'm on Illinois.
Right. So, in Penn State, like I said, Illinois is all about the start, too. They need to get some scores early because, you know, put it this way, if they were to, like, go, you know, if they were to give up, say, an opening score and then Illinois goes down, like, misses a field goal, if it's suddenly, like, 14-0, you're going to be in serious trouble.
Right.
So, like, I think Illinois, yeah, they need to make a statement right away with some long physical drives. But it's a tough one, like I said, but the quarterback situation for the Illini is huge. So I'm waiting to see who plays. And I'll very likely just in-game it. But the last game on deck, 7:35 start, so we've got your Pac-12 after dark here on a Friday night. USC, which I knew from the start. I did all the preseason work for Sportsline. I said this team's going to be, you know, by their standards, terrible. They lost everybody, not only Darnold, Ronald Jones, the whole defense. Basically a whole influx of freshman, sophomore playing, you know, all significant roles. They haven't done a thing yet, barely beat UNLV. I mean, that was a five-point game in the fourth quarter. They come back and, got 3 points against Stanford. And last week actually went out and got 14 right away against Texas, then did nothing. And, I mean, I've seen the freshman quarterback, JT Daniels. I mean, it's clear maybe he grows into it. It's clear he can make some throws. They don't often give him a lot of time. You know, again, he's still a freshman. He's played three games. They don't have the kind of weapons they used to, the protection. You know, Texas shut him out in the second half entirely. You got Washington State, who – I'm not a fan of. I mean, I can't stand Mike Leach, but I've seen them a couple times. I saw the whole Wyoming game. They brought in the quarterback from, you know, graduate transfer from East Carolina, kid who, you know, Gardner Minshew, didn't do a lot there. But he's the perfect guy for their system. Sits back there with the four wide on every play. He can hit the intermediate routes. And the bottom line is, we spoke a little bit about this before the show, but it's gone from USC -3 to 4.5. You can only have the Cougs.
Me, I don't understand it.
4.5. You got me, guys. Seriously, you got me. USC can't score, Mark.
I bet against USC last 3 weeks, and I'm not changing tonight.
Look at this total, too. 51. So right now we have two games left. 6:05 kickoff, Penn State and Illinois. Penn State up to 26 with the total being
down to
61.
26.
Excuse me. Penn State laying 26, total 61. Washington State, USC. USC is up to -4.5 and with a total of 51 right there. So still two games to bet. You know, so make sure you have the William Hill mobile sports app. You can still get in action with those. So let's head off to our next commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live from Club Calneva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel. Make sure you can read all of his articles. They're on the Sportsline. Martha Kid Vespi.
Yo.
Jesse James actually texted me on the break. You guys were talking about the K-State game. K-State's 24-9. As a road dog since 2008.
Yep.
24-9. So that's certainly where you want to be on this game, it looks like, Josh. Grind it out, keep it close, and Looking at your notes, you got that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I told you I researched the game, but I knew, you know, yeah, all the trends favor them here, and it's one of those things where West Virginia, I believe they're just primed to get hit in the mouth a little bit by K-State, and they may still win the game, but I think that goes down to the wire. But anyway.
Thanks, Jesse James. Yeah. Always there for us. So, all right, let's jump into this NFL slate. Philadelphia at home this week versus the Colts. 6.5 is the number. The return of, looks like it's going to be the return of Wentz.
Yeah, you know, I think this game's tough because Wentz hasn't played in so long. I was thinking when he comes back, I might actually fade the Eagles because you realize it's been over a year. There's so many things to adjust where by now they're used to Nick Foles, the way he calls the snap count, the run-pass options that are his strength or Wentz is
You know
more.
What, Josh, hold on. I'm going to stop you right there. I really appreciate what you just did. You said run-pass option. You didn't say RPO because I'm right. Sick of hearing it.
Oh, okay.
So good
but
job.
You just did.
Good job on not saying RPO.
All right, thanks.
Mark,
I'm kind of an RPO guy.
But nonetheless, the
boy, good thing he's only here every once in a while.
I thought there might be an adjustment, you know, needs to be made for and Wentz, you know, the natural rust idea of him coming back from having played for so long. The only issue I have, though, so I had anticipated when Wentz came back that I'd probably take, you know, the points against the Eagles, whoever they're playing. The issue I have with the Colts, though, it's a horrible matchup, I think, for them, though, because even though they played better last week, they still have a bad protection. Like for Andrew Luck, for instance, I think the Eagles, you know, defensive line probably gets to him, maybe forces some turnovers. And so now I'm stuck, whereas at first I was thinking, yeah, you know, I might have to fade the Eagles here when he comes back. I mean, I'm still actually leaning underdog, but I think X's and O's wise could be a bad matchup. But I just think, though, if you watch the game, still be aware of the Wentz adjustment. It's not going to be like automatic that he steps in and they're better than they were.
With him coming back also, Alshon Jeffrey's still not playing. Ajayi's hurt still. He's probably not going to play, so Clement's going to get the start. You know, I like the Colts in this spot. I like the 6.5. I'm hoping that the public weighs in, Josh and Mark, right before game time, and this moves to 7, and then you'll see me all over the Colts. Yeah,
that'd
plus
be
seven.
The best of 7.
You're going to see me all over the Colts getting 7. I know that Doyle's out for the Colts, so it looks like Eric Ebron's going to be the starting tight end right there. I think as time goes on, Luck is going to get better. You know, before Luck got hurt, he was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion, and I think now that he's got a couple of games under his belt, I've seen what I needed to see. I talked about this earlier, but pre-week one, and I wanted to see, you know, how his arm would hold up, if he could drive the ball down the field or if he could throw 50 passes a game. And he's proven to me that he can do both. So in this game, in the situation with Wentz coming back, maybe a little bit of rust, no Ajayi, so they're going to have to go to Clement. I like the Colts here, especially the public's going to drive this up. This is not coming Colt money late. I'm going to tell you right now.
Exactly.
It's coming Eagle money, and I'm going to wait till it gets to 7. Might even try and hold out right for kickoff and grab a 7.5, and then you're going to see me on the Colts.
I thought the Colts were pretty impressive last week. I mean, the Redskins, they made them look pedestrian.
You know who has
I'm not saying the Redskins are some great team or anything.
Well, I'll throw this into you. Mark, you know who has the number one defense in the NFL? The Redskins.
Oh, the Redskins, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, they pushed them around.
That's my point.
And the Redskins made some bad, though. Like, for instance, they didn't help. But they had lots of drops, you know what I mean, on offense.
Oh, there was
stuff,
drops, Alex, penalties,
right.
You know, all kinds of stuff.
They got in their own way.
Stop drives. Yeah, for sure. But it was pretty impressive what the Colts did, I thought. Because I was all over the Redskins. I didn't see any way the Colts would win based off their first performance. And, you know, but I thought it was interesting. Andrew Luck last week, he said, well, it feels like we're playing football now. Because, like, the first week he felt a little out of sorts,
sure.
You know, in his interviews. And
it's just like
he from one week to the next, yeah. He already felt a lot more comfortable.
Well, it goes back. His interviews, he was saying.
Which makes sense.
It's just not football related, though. It's the interaction in the huddle. It's the game management. Everything not.
Yeah.
That doesn't involve the actual snapping of the ball, Mark.
For sure.
You know, and you know, controlling
the huddle.
Those
are all big parts of it.
Oh, huge parts. And I think that, you know, he's Stanford guy. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's going to be back. I like the Colts here.
I like Stanford tomorrow.
So, all right, with that being said, let's move on. Carolina at home laying 3 versus Cincinnati. Total 44. Nick Hughes 2.5 and 44.5 on the card. This game's probably a pass for me. I really like what Cincinnati's been doing, you know, recently. You know, Cincinnati's the top of the AFC North right now. The only team not defeated. They're 2-0. They scored 68 points in 2 games. Tough game right here. Probably a pass for me. I wouldn't be excited about laying points with Carolina. If this game got to 3, you'd probably see me weighing a little bit on the dog here too, Josh.
Yeah, you know what, Ken? It's a tight line. You know, 2 physical teams. I actually like the Panthers a little bit, though. And here's why. Like, Cincinnati has been impressive so far. But you know what? Everyone seems, you know, to sleep on Carolina a little bit in the sense that everyone forgets, like you talk about, you know, that division. It's all Saints, Falcons, all anyone remembers. Carolina won 11 games last year. There's a couple plays from it being a little more. They've gotten better at all their weaknesses. And against a similarly physical team, kind of like, you know, Dallas was the first week, where the matchup's kind of similar. But the Panthers, I think, have a little edge on, you know, the defensive side. And just generally speaking, I think they're a little undervalued. You know, it's only -3. Have the Bengals shown enough? And the Panthers hung in there against the Falcons last week, you know, lost by a touchdown. But I just think if you, obviously Cincinnati hadn't, you know, shown some real positive signs the first couple of weeks, it's probably, you know, if this was week one matchup, it's probably more like -6 or whatever. So I just think you're getting scaled back, a little bit of a discount on Carolina. It's the way to go.
I agree. I think this is a lot like that Dallas game. And I love betting the Panthers with these short numbers at home because they seem to respond. And you know, Cam plays great at home. And I don't love Cam, but there's just something about him, you know. I mean, he kind of wills these teams to these victories in these, like, tightly contested physical battles. I just like Panthers with a short number. I mean, if I can get the money line a little shorter, you know, maybe I don't know what it's at right now. I think it's -3 even money, so the money line's probably -150. Okay, I might do that route with another team, you know, with another short number. I kind of like to keep the point spreads out of it in some of these situations.
Jacksonville at home versus the Titans. It looks like Mariota's going to play. What's that, Josh?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, yeah, right now it looks like, I don't know if it's still off the board, but, yeah, all the injury on 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5.
I was going to say, because you had, yeah, Fournette and all Mariota injuries on all sides.
Yeah, so you pull this game up right now. Nick actually used 9.5 and 39.5. You know, just on defense alone, I'm going to take Jacksonville. I will be using Jacksonville in some 10-point teasers. I think this is going to be an offensive explosion by Jacksonville. You know, they've had a couple of tough games, but now they're at home versus Tennessee. 26th ranked defense in the NFL after two games, giving up 389 yards a game, 134 on the ground. I think that you're going to get a big dose of everything that Jacksonville can do. Jacksonville's 2-0 in the AFC South. They're going to keep it rolling, guys. I really do. I really believe this. Tennessee's 1-1, so this is a huge game. They're not going to sleep on this game right now. Give me Jacksonville in this game in a 10-point teaser, in a 6-point teaser, in anything under 3. Jacksonville, this is one of those games where I believe that Jacksonville, they're going to score a defensive touchdown and they're going to have an offensive explosion.
Yeah, well, I like Jacksonville as well. Like, Tennessee's kind of limited. It's obviously a lot of points. You think, oh, maybe Tennessee can hang in there. But, Ken, my platform from the start in the Jags where they were undervalued as well, where they're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl last year. We know what happened. They did nothing but get better, and yet I don't know why. It seems such a widespread opinion. Like, oh, one-hit wonder. I mean, their season win total was like 9.5, I believe. Like, why did everyone expect them to just suddenly be, you know, horrible? And they're full of just young talent and just a wicked defense. And in this situation, so because of that, I mean, I've already got two wins on them, right? Had them against the Giants in week one. I had them against New England last week. And, again, I think Tennessee is, you know, scrappy enough, and maybe they could hang in there, but I would only have Jacksonville.
And with that being said, Derrick Henry's not running the ball well. And you got Mariota that's banged up. I mean, and no Delanie Walker. Man, what a tough recipe to go into Jacksonville.
Jags 41-10.
Exactly what I'm thinking, Mark. Everybody knows I always put together my $40 six-teamer favorite and over. I will be using Jacksonville and over in this game.
41-10.
41-10. Jacksonville might – the total in this game is 39.5. Jacksonville might cover that themselves.
41's more than that.
I just said that, Mark.
Oh, cool.
This guy – this is the reason he only comes back occasionally. Exactly, because he always has to be –
I like all your points, Ken. I agree with all of them. 41-10.
All right, Falcons at home versus the Saints, one of the top four totals in this game at 53.5. Numbers 3.5. This is a real interesting game, you know – I look at the Saints from last year and what they've done versus what they've done this year. I look at Atlanta in the same way. I mean, 53.5. This is one of those games that's going to be.
I know. What is this? 2010?
21-17.
This is a lot of points for this
21-17
game.
21-17 final.
Yeah. 23-17, something like that. I agree. I looked at that total. I was like, do we just go back in time 6 years, you know, when these games were. And those were the totals were when those games were, you know, 31-28, 35-30. They were all around the 51, 52, 53 number. To me, this is too many points. The Saints just don't do their offense the same way. They have a lot more, you know, balance. You know, there's a lot more runs. There's a lot more short passes to the backs, underline, you know, throws to the receivers, crossing routes, things like that. They don't – it's not the big air show. And the Falcons, they definitely don't air it out like they used to. I think this is an under game. The total, 53, I think it started at 52.5, so it went up a half. So that's kind of a strange – I see it going the other way.
Well, Yeah, I don't know so much about the total, but on the side here, I like New Orleans because it's one of those things. I think they're in the bounce back position, right? They had so many preseason expectations. Everyone's, oh, look, the Saints were right there last year, and they're probably going to be better. And they stumbled out of the gate big time, right? I mean, upset, biggest point spread favorite of week one, got upset by the Bucs, 10-point chalk. But who would have thought? They could have just a play away from going 0-2 against the Buccaneers and Browns. They pulled it out just barely last week, so they get out of there 1-1 in the homestand. But over the past few years, the Saints have sort of been a late, you know, developing team too, late bloomer. This is sort of, you know, seen as the big divisional rivalry that would likely, you know, determine the champion or whatever. And yeah, it comes right down to it. I think the Saints are better than the Falcons. Like, I realize, yeah, Falcons home field advantage and whatnot, but I think New Orleans breaks out in this one.
It's a big game. They're both 1-1. I mean, this is a big early game in that division. It's hard for me to say Saints will win this game on the road. The Falcons usually win these games ugly at home, you know, by a field goal or less. So I would lean to the Falcons money line, but I don't love it.
I'm with you guys. Give me 3.5 in the Saints right here. What's wrong with that? You know, I mean, Atlanta scored 43 points so far this year in two games, or 42 points in two games. New Orleans has scored 66. I mean, you have the better offense, I think, right now. I like what I see in Atlanta right here, or with the Saints right here. And Mark, this is might be a dog and underplay with me. You know, why not throw the Saints on the money line at plus, you know, 130, 140. You know, I don't know. I mean, I just look at this game. I think it's too many points, and I would only have the dog in this spot. So we have to go over a commercial break here and say, hey, Arnie States is here tonight, guys. Don't forget, his comedy show is tonight here at the Club Count Eve at 8 p.m. So come down here. Plenty of tickets still available. Come down and support Arnie States. Local legend. We love Arnie States. We're all going to be there, though. People are still trying to score in these college football games. So when we come back, we're going to continue with this NFL slate. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Well, we're back here at the Club Count Eva. Mark, we got touchdown.
Sorry, Ken.
That's right. We're back here at the Club Count Eva. Still, Mark, make sure you like the show at Kennedy ESPN Sports Handicapping, and make sure you go to Sportsline and download, check out all of Josh's stuff. So that being said, we got to fire through these games. Ravens at home versus the Broncos. 5.5 total is 43.5. You know, the Ravens have been playing, you know, they're 1-1 right now, not looking too bad. Scored 70 points in two games. That's a lot of daggone points.
You know, Ken, what I find interesting about this one is I'm still not big on Baltimore, I think, for the whole year, whereas a lot of people expect them to be a breakout team. They are a lot better. But to me, this is more a play against Denver, and I think similar to last year, I think what we've seen the Broncos so far is just a smokescreen. I mean, they could easily be 0-2. They won their first few games last year and fell apart. I still don't think they're very good, and Case Keenum hasn't played very well. But Seattle, was, you know, they struggled with in week one. They found a way to win. Same thing, last week was kind of a miracle. The Raiders had them. I couldn't believe they let that off the hook. But so they squeezed out a couple home wins against mediocre competition. You got the Ravens here who – expect them to be improved, but it's one of those deals. I don't think with the firepower and the Ravens, actually, with Crabtree, John Brown, the new receivers have fit in real good and they've produced well. I don't think the Broncos, you know, I don't think they're great on defense. I don't think they have the firepower on offense to hang, so I like Baltimore.
I love Baltimore in this game. Denver, you know, they're 2-0, but Seattle and Oakland, I mean, they're both, to me, 500 or below teams, you know, and I just think, you know, they kind of survived that Oakland game, and they're a much better home team historically anyway. And the Ravens, to me, are one of the better teams in the AFC. I think they win this game fairly easily. It's tough with Denver, though. Sometimes their defense can rise up and make it difficult on the opponent, especially if they get a couple turnovers and stuff. But I think the Ravens have enough firepower. I don't think Denver can score enough points to stay with them. So I agree with you. I like the Ravens -5. I already have them on a teaser, 6-point teaser, so I'll probably approach it that way, but I may lay the 5.
I like the Ravens in this game. I totally agree with what you guys. You have an overvalued Denver team here at 2-0. You have a Baltimore team. They're 1-1. I mean, but they've played well. They've scored 70 points in two games. They're averaging 35 points a game. You know, with that being said, give me the Ravens here at home. You know, in a game where, you know, they can't let this division race slip away. You know, Cincinnati's 2-0 right now. Hey, and don't sleep now. Cleveland's 1-1-1. I mean, and people are – I'm not making a joke right here.
Oh, I know.
Baker Mayfield came in last night, and he changed that game.
What happened?
Baker, did you see his interview after the game?
I did.
Incredible. Yeah. Was it not? I mean, did you just not love it?
You know what? Because, Ken, for what it's worth, the whole thing throughout the offseason, too, when he got drafted, the Colin Coward, you know, type of thing where, you know, Coward's like, oh, it's terrible, and he went on his show.
I loved it.
He literally goes against all his haters and will talk to him respectfully and give it right back to him. So I wasn't surprised is what I'm saying. After seeing his whole summer where, like, media-type tour, knowing what his attitude is like at every turn. So when he went in there last night, won the game, and then did his interview, I wasn't surprised because that's who he is.
Did you not like when they brought out the cake and they said, oh, all we're missing is Colin Coward, and Baker goes, I don't want to celebrate with that guy.
I don't think I heard that line.
It was awesome. And also, Bob Stoops had Lincoln Riley had a great tweet.
He'll forgive you for planting the flag now.
Yeah, because he took all the grief when Oklahoma went down there and beat Ohio State, and Ohio State, he took the Oklahoma flag and planted it in the midfield. And his tweet was, I think they forgive you in Ohio now. So with that being said.
I just thought it was cool for one of these rookie quarterbacks, first-year quarterbacks, whatever, to come in and do something positive. You know, because
how good did he look,
because
Mark?
They're under so much scrutiny.
How good did he look?
Just the energy of the game changed the second he came in. Wow. I thought it was.
They believe in him.
I mean, I bet him on the in play as soon as he came in.
Texans at home versus the Giants. Texans laying 6.5. Totals 41.5. There is so much offense on this Giants team, but they can't protect the quarterback. Barkley's going to have a bad year just because they can't block for him. You know, Dallas just dominated this team last week. Giants are 0-2. They scored 28 total points in two games. The Texans, you know, they're 0-2, but they've had a tough first two games. You know, Texans at home. I want no part of the Giants in this game. It would only be Texans or bust for me.
Yeah, see, I kind of like the Giants only because, as you mentioned, the Texans, they've had more difficult schedule for sure, but they're probably, you know, they're supposed to be the Titans. That was a pretty poor performance against Tennessee last week.
I agree with that.
And they hung in for a while, of course, against New England opening day. But overall, so to me, it's one of those things. If it's too sort of mediocre, you know, these middling teams have failed to meet expectations so far. You can't have one, I think, as a touchdown favorite. The Giants, I think typically they kind of rise up, you know, in these spots. I just think I'd probably like, you know, 7 a little more. But you're getting almost a full touchdown. I think they'll hang in there and cover this one.
It's tough with the Giants. I mean, you say the Giants and their great offense. Well, you mean they have playmakers, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything about offense. I mean, they could get nothing going against the Cowboys, and now they go into the Texans who need a W.
Yeah. Like, bad.
I'm thinking like big time Texans in this game. I'm thinking like the Jags game in this game.
I agree. I can't disagree with that at all.
I mean, maybe not that bad, but having said that, I have a hard time getting on the right side of the Giants. So if I like the Texans, Josh, it's probably pretty good for you.
All right.
Miami at home versus the Oakland Raiders. 3.5, 43.5. I don't know. I look at the Dolphins, and Miami's 2-0. I mean, and then you have the Raiders. You know, on the other hand, they're 0-2. You know, and the Raiders can't score 32 points. You know, but this is just one of those games where can Miami really lay points? I know they're at home, but aren't the Raiders due to break out?
Exactly, Ken. Well, I think your first point's the one to zero in on here. That'd be Miami and how you handicap them. They've been better so far than people expected. I wasn't surprised. I thought Ryan Tannehill, who kind of a frustrating guy, whatever. I just thought, you know, basically anyone but Cutler was going to be an upgrade for Miami. I felt like he brought down the whole franchise last year, the way he played and his attitude. And they had some pretty good players coming back. So I thought they'd be okay. I thought 6.5 on their win total was low. I thought Miami at least good for their usual 8-8, maybe better. But they're good, you know, in the underdog spot, right? So the first week they're a couple point underdog to the Titans at home, and then last week they go up there, the Jets being a little overvalued after their week one, so they were a great underdog spot there. But this is the time to go against them. Like you mentioned, can you start laying points with Miami? Now I want the other side. And now with that coinciding with the Raiders needing that break, I mean they should have. They had the Broncos right there. And I think the Raiders, still overall, might be a little bit better team than Miami. So take those points.
The Raiders are a bad team. The Dolphins, I'm not saying they're a great team, but they are 2-0. They've been surprising to start. You know what's tough? I mean, Gruden must be hating the schedule makers. They play in the two toughest places to go on the road in all of football back-to-back. Go to Denver in the altitude, and then you go to Miami in the heat in September. I mean, it's going to be like 86 degrees there with 100% humidity. I mean, this is a tough game for the Raiders. Plus, they have the early start time for a West Coast team going to the East Coast, the body clock situation. Raiders are 5-21 against the spread in this situation over the last however long those 26 games are. And to me, I think it's the Dolphins. I'm gonna bet the Dolphins with the Panthers money line. I'm going to stay out of the
– Do you ever like an underdog?
I'm going to stay out of the – Not yet, Josh. No, right. I don't.
I was just saying, you're like 7 for 7.
Correct,
chalks,
I don't. Well, I don't like the Falcons.
Okay.
But I don't like the Saints either. But I'll go money line and teasers and stay out of the point spreads. So that's not really a favorite if you drop them down 6 points.
All right.
Mark, just so you know, favorites this year against the spread are 109 and 107. That's not right. That's last year.
Yeah, there hasn't been that bad thing.
That's a lot of games already.
I printed out the wrong. Oh no, that was college. Excuse me. See, against the spread this year in the NFL, favorites are 15, 17, and 1. So,
Josh, I am allowed to pick whoever I want.
I'm Ken.
Oh yeah. I know.
So far,
I like all the favorites.
You know,
mostly.
Even though Oakland's 0-2.
You are, but you know, in the NFL, that's a long term. You know,
but
what I'm saying,
Josh, is money lines.
Here we go.
And teasers. I'm taking a lot of those
okay.
points out of it.
But also taking chalks. All right.
Taking
short chalks
on
a
teaser. You like
a
lot of these dogs
idea.
To win, is what you're saying?
Some. I just put it this way. You know, NFL 3 points is actually. You know, valuable amount to take, and some of them, yeah, it's prudent
true.
To do so.
Okay, right. I'm going to keep track of my my favorites this week.
Okay.
We'll see how I do.
I'm going to keep track of how many other people I have on the radio show this year. Because you're going to lose two. The one thing that I see right here, guys, is even though the Oakland's 0-2, they're ranked number 10th in total offense in the NFL after two games, and Miami's ranked number 26. So with that being said, I don't really have the points here. Packers playing.
Raiders are bad.
Packers playing the Redskins, going on the road. Nick used 2.5 and 45.5. Rodgers has not practiced all week. He does have some concern about that knee. But with that being said, he had concern last week, and he beat probably the best defense in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, this one, Ken, and you're right, he didn't play. That's
practice.
Why the spreads weren't even released till late in the process. He went out there, played pretty well. I like the Redskins in this one. You know, for a while back, they actually used to play quite a bit. The Redskins have dominated this rivalry, believe it or not.
Who has the number one defense after 2 weeks?
Washington. They have a pretty good – for some reason, they match up fairly well. Alex Smith has been playing well. And to me, this is just the anti-public special, Mark. Where I go in there, I just feel like the whole world's going to be on Green Bay. Hey, it's only -3. You know, understand it. It just looks like, you know, a value jumping off the shelves to them. And I just feel like, you know, this is the one. In terms of public fades, which is a real strong – you know, angle to take in the NFL, this one stands out.
Wait till they say Aaron Rodgers is playing. This is going to go to 3.5, and I'm going to bet the Redskins.
Josh, I like the Redskins.
All right.
Are you happy?
But you're still going with the public, Mark.
Home dog.
Oh, okay, home dog on Sunday.
You think the Redskins is a public pick?
No.
I'm just joking, Mark. I'm joking.
I was going to say.
I'm going to wait.
Like you said, that line's going up.
It's going to go up. It's because
as soon as he says I'm okay.
As soon as Rodgers says he's going to play, which he's going to play. He's going to play. Listen, Green Bay right now, their record is 1-0-1. They can't go 1-1-1. I mean, you got Minnesota right there. I mean, you got Chicago playing.
Green Bay is not that good of a team.
So, with that being said, Rodgers plays. The number goes to 3.
I agree with that. Right.
The number goes to 3, 3.5, and you see me weighing in on the Redskins at home plus the money.
As much as Rodgers carries them, they really don't have a lot else. They still have no run game and a very shoddy defense.
Okay, then we can fit this game in real quick before we have to go off to our next commercial break, our last commercial break. The Vikings at home laying opened at 16. It's Nick U 17 on the card. It's back down, or excuse me, Nick U 16.5 on the card. I seen it as high as 17.5. It's back down to 16 and the total of 40. Ridiculous. Delvin Cook's not going to play, but. Can you really lay 17
no.
in the NFL, Josh?
Well, here's the thing, Kenan. You're right.
It's either take the dog or pass, right?
Totally. And the thing is, even look at there's so much parity in the league that even any double figure spread at all is rare. I think we've only had one the whole year so far. Yeah, Saints -10 on opening day, and
how'd that work out?
They lost outright. And you see that you know this whole thing again. The teams are so tightly bunched talent wise. Even 6 is like a huge spread in the NFL. You see the 17. Anytime there's double figures, you gotta start wondering if you can make a case for the dog. In this case, you're talking about 17 points. That's the only thing you can do. And the Rams -13 last week.
Mark, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Josh, I'm gonna blow your mind. Mark's gonna say, "I love the Vikings."
Yep.
Of course.
This game is like
27-0.
38-3.
No. It's like Mark said. Mark's kind of got a point. If the Vikings get 21, they might cover, Josh.
Seriously.
They might cover.
Seriously.
Yeah, favorite and under is a possibility. But I'm just saying, from a pure principle standpoint, no, I'll never lay 17 in an NFL.
True, but
game.
I'm doing it. I'm going to bet it.
Is this a Paul Sponner? Is this the great Paul Sponner special?
I don't know because I think the Vikings can score a lot.
Yeah.
But I think they could cover it on their own.
But once they get up, they just, you know, it cooks out, so Lat Murray's going to be in there. So they might just go into some ball control, conservative offense. This really could be a Paul Sonner special, everybody. Lay 16.5, better than a 40.
I don't love it, but I can't bet the Bills. They're god-awful. They can't score.
It's worth their quarterback Josh situations. Allen was pretty good in his first.
He wasn't too bad. You're right. But he makes some bad decisions. Against that defense, those decision-making is not
going
to be good.
Going on the road against Minnesota, against a Minnesota team.
It's the best defense in the league.
They can't afford to lose another game.
Their last road game, they lost 40-0.
Oh, wow. All right. That being said, let's head off to our last commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live. Laying 16.5 on the Vikings.
I'm doing it.
Mark the Kid Vesfias on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back. I'm just getting all these kinds of texts from Jesse James, Mark Shannon, a bunch of other people. And I'm going to post your, like I said, at the end of the show, we post our selections on Facebook, and I'm going to post Mark Shannon's on here too. And I'm going to give I'm going to give my pro picks and some college picks and some late picks too, just so.
I know what totals he likes.
Mark Shannon?
Mark, text us the totals.
Mark,
you like.
Text me the totals that you like too, Mr. Shannon.
And ask Adamitz what he thought of that UFC fight, 228.
And Adamitz, I know that you're listening.
It's the one we debated on air. I'll just be respectful. Jesse, but we had the opposite sides of that, and I came out ahead with Tyron Woodley against
Darren. How has that been respectful?
Oh, a little I told you so?
Because, well,
humble brag?
Hey, I've been on the other end of that how many times where
Jesse,
I've been taunted or whatever.
Jesse James.
But anyway, hey, it was a good competitive fight. We had a good on-air discussion about
Josh
it.
But Josh won.
By thinking through Tyron Woodley. Darren Till was not ready to be champion.
Woodley
smashed him.
All right, Chiefs and Niners. Chiefs at home versus the Niners, 6.5 total, 56.5. I'm not sure I understand this total.
56 is ridiculous.
I really don't understand that. I really don't know if I understand this total. And a lot of the sharp people I've been talking to are talking about how it's a guaranteed over at 56. San Francisco scored 46 points this year.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs are doing that every game.
Well, I know, but who's to say that this has to play to the over, Josh? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, Goodwin, we don't know if Goodwin's coming back yet for the Niners. You know, they're down there a second. They got the NFL's leading rusher in Bereda, or however you say the guy's name,
right.
Which is that's obviously going to pass. But, you know, I just look at this game. I look at this 56. I mean, there's nothing that really makes me think that this game has to go over the 56. And I know the highest follow you can ever – you take the highest total on the board and you bet it over, and you bet the lowest total on the board and you bet it under, and this is the highest total on the board. But when is the last time – is this the highest total you guys have seen in a few years?
In a long 56? Time. Well, you're right, Ken. Well, you enter that – atmosphere right there, any you know, high 50s is pretty rare thing, right? 56. I remember, like you mentioned, some of those Saints Falcons. You saw 59 occasionally.
Yeah.
And they can be higher, but the thing is, I think it is the Chiefs are the X factor here that they fit the profile of the team that makes for a total being this high. For instance, meaning that they both score a lot and they give up a lot. When you look at the Steelers last week, it was 42-35 or 42-37, and that's why I look at the Chiefs put up 21 in a heartbeat, and then lost the whole lead. Scored some in the second half, but that was a formula for having about 80 points in an NFL game. I guess that's what they're saying is with this, kind of expect the same thing. The Chiefs will get their share. The Niners could probably get some. That's why it's so high.
I'm just kind of thinking this is one of those games where, you know, it only takes a couple of those drives to stall a little bit and get
field goals
or miss a field goal or, you know, or you get one turnover in the red zone, something like that just – and this game goes under. I like it under. I don't love it. But I'm not betting over.
You know, what's crazy is everybody knows that I have a big bet on my – well, not a big bet. I have a bet on Mahomes to lead the NFL in passing yards this year. After two games, he's 10 touchdowns, and he's like 250 yards. He's just – he scores too fast.
Efficient, right.
Yeah.
Last week,
the
six touchdowns at 300 yards, you would think he would have thrown for more.
Anyways, with that being said, you know, I look at this. I don't know if I agree with the 56, but I don't want to bet it under just in case.
Pick it.
I'm going to pass.
Sorry, public.
Rams at home versus the Chargers. Rams laying 7.5 to a pretty good Charger team at 48.5. I'm not sure if I'm ready for this game right now. I kind of like the Chargers in this game, guys.
I do, too. And you know, obviously, I'm usually not big on the Chargers. But in this specific matchup, I agree, Ken. Well, they kind of got back on track. Chargers did in Buffalo last week. The Rams, I can see them, right? I can see them laying the 13 against a terrible Arizona team. But a full touchdown against the team everyone else was picking to win the AFC West. I don't yeah, and the Rams, you know what? I mean, they may cover that, but that's too many for me.
I like the dog, Josh.
All right.
I don't love it, but I like the over more. I think there's a lot of points in this game.
Why?
Just I think both teams will get their points. I think Chargers have a lot of offensive firepower, and the Rams, you know, I don't see anybody slowing them down. I mean, Arizona slowed them down a little bit, like forced them a couple field goals, but the Rams really just kind of shut it down in that game. They could have scored 50 if they wanted
thing,
to.
Right. They just
– I mean, they totally could have.
Exactly.
They could have kept it going. So, you know, I'll take the dog and over. I'm looking shootout, 34-31, something like that.
All right. Bears traveling to Arizona. Bears laying 6.5 on the road to Arizona, 37.5 in total in this game. Yeah, I like what I'm seeing from the Bears guys once again, but I mean, you can't really – the Cardinals are going to – they're going to compete in this game. They really are, guys. I mean, the Bears can't just go into Arizona and just lay 7, you know, lay a touchdown. I think Arizona's – they're playing for pride right now. Eventually, David Johnson's going to have a game, guys. Yeah. I mean, he is. You know, and he's probably going to be the best player on the field when they take the field, and I truly believe that. I think that they're going to rely on – Chicago's going to rely on Jordan Howard a little bit to run the ball. I think this is probably going to be a lower-scoring game than what the total – you know, the total is – it's a low-scoring game at 38, and I still think it's going to go under that. But with this being said, you know, in a low total game, Josh, and you can give me almost a touchdown with the home team, I'm going to take the home team every time.
Yeah, I like it too, only because especially we're just getting a little carried away on the Bears here, right? Expected them to be improved. Everyone saw the week one game they should have beat the Packers, and they turn around, nice Monday night performance against the Seahawks. Now it's like, yeah, you know, everyone's on the Bears. They're a good underdog. They say, right, in 2 weeks can we be laying a touchdown on the road suddenly? I don't think so either. This is one of the games where I think the Cardinals, as bad as they are, they'll keep it close.
Cardinals home dog. That's money over the last few years. Bills home dog, Giants home dog, Cardinals home dog. I'll take the principal play. I'll take Cardinals. I think they can win this game. Bears laying 6, and this is ridiculous.
I'm with you, Mark, 100%. I totally agree with that, guys. Seattle at home versus the Dallas Cowboys. 1.5 is the number. 1.5 or 41.5 is the total. You know, if you would have told me that the way Dallas's defense was going to play after two games this year, I would say we'd be 2-0, and we'd be. I'd like everything I see, even though they have offensive line problems. Me being a Cowboys fan, obviously, but you know, something's wrong with the offense. You know. I used to believe 100% in Prescott, but we have no receivers. Dallas has zero receivers, guys. That's the problem. We lost Witten, a tight end. We have no receivers, no offensive line, no tight end. And look at this number, 41.5. I mean, Dallas, they're not going to hit big plays against Seattle. I know Seattle's the 12th man is gone and the Legion of Boom is gone, but this is going to play into a low-scoring game, yeah, just like it has the last 2 weeks with Dallas. Wait till this gets to 42. If it gets to 42.5, you got aces. Ship your money in the middle of the pot. See the flop, the turn in the river, because you had the best of it going in. This game goes under.
I think the number is good right now. You can bet under right now. The only way this goes over is if Seattle gets a couple defensive turnovers or something, touchdowns. I think this is a stone-cold under. I like the home team, too. Seattle 0-2, need a win at home, short number. I'll take Seattle money line and the under.
All right.
Yeah, I like Seahawks a little bit here, too, only because you mentioned, Ken, the Cowboys have had a hard time getting it going in Seattle. As much turnover and everything as they had, they haven't been terrible. I mean, they've been all right. They could have beaten Denver. The same thing against, you saw Chicago. It was at the game, would have been, you know, game-tying drive potentially when Wilson throws the pick six. If he gets in there and it's 17-0, I mean, who knows. But actually on offense, they're a little better than expected. And Doug Baldwin has been out. The receiver, you know, he should be back this weekend. And Bobby Wagner on the other side should be back after injury.
So crazy, crazy numbers right now. Patriots going to Detroit lane 6.5, 51.5. Mark, I'm going to lob this up to you because you're a Patriots guy.
This is the best bet of the week. Patriots roll. I don't usually say that about the Patriots, but to me this is just, I mean, this is Jets game all over again. Patriots have a loss, you know, facing Patricia, Sunday night game. I mean, the Lions might be in it for a little bit, but Patriots are going to score a will on this team, and it's going to get ugly.
Josh Gordon?
Oh, yeah.
They work him in immediately?
No doubt.
And you got Sony Michel coming in. They said that he's going to get the ball a lot. So a couple of new tools for Tommy Boy, huh?
A couple toys under the tree.
Yeah, exactly. A couple
nice
toys under the tree. Josh?
Well, I like – it's a tough
Normally, one. Josh, I'm going to tell you right now, normally I would be all over the Lions in this spot, but like Kid said –
I know, Patriots in the bounce
back. Doesn't watch the Lions? The Lions,
I put it this way, even if like the Patriots – yeah – even if they lost a close game last week, maybe different. But, yeah, in these spots where they're just coming off a pretty bitter road defeat and just want to take it out on a bad team, I know they score, you know, a ton in these spots. But at the same time, you know, Patricia's going to want to prove everyone thinks he's the joke of the league, like, you know, the Belichick family tree guy that he can actually compete. Exactly. So, actually, kind of like the home dog here, only because I think the entire world and their, you know, brothers are going to be on the Patriots. So, only out of principle, but having said that, watch, I'll look up and it'll be 52-10 or something.
So guess who's given up the most points in the entire NFL this year?
Detroit Lions.
Yep. Tied with the Buffalo Bills. So, I mean, to me, Mark, it's just like
You want the pain.
Yeah, exactly. You bring the pain. Steelers, Tampa Bay, going on the road. Tampa Bay's at home, getting a point and a half. Total is 53.5. This looks like to be a shootout right now. I think at this point, the way the Madge Patrick or whatever you guys want to call him, I think they got the wrong
Fitzmagic.
I think they got the wrong favorite in this game, Tampa Bay's not getting any respect, guys. You know, you have dissension in Pittsburgh right now with Le'Veon Bell. You got Antonio Brown fighting with the head coach. Just too much stuff going on in Pittsburgh right now. I think Tampa Bay goes 3-0.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. That would have been the most, right before the season, the most unlikely thing. Looked like they were going to be horrible, and they had this brutal schedule. They were supposed to be the joke of the league, and now they might win all three. And as you mentioned, like just on the field, it's funny because Pittsburgh actually has a great – I did a whole research on this. They're 13-2 under Tomlin on Monday night and coming off like a loss. They've got a great record of covering. All the trends and everything will tell you Pittsburgh's the play. But with all the turmoil you just mentioned, Ken, it's like, yeah, this isn't the time, I don't think. I think Tampa Bay is getting disrespected.
Absolutely. And you look at what Pittsburgh –
Love the Bucks.
Pittsburgh's – yeah.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah, we have 1 minute, guys. And Tampa Bay can score. All right. Mark, you got your picks?
I like the over in that game too. Yes, I'll take New England, Miami money line, and Jacksonville. And I also like Stanford and TCU in college.
All right, say it one more time.
New England, Miami money line, Jacksonville, and in college, Stanford and TCU.
All right, what do you got, Josh?
Sure, I'll go Panthers, I'll go Raiders, and I will go with the Seahawks.
Throw me a college game, Josh.
College, yeah, I'll go with Kansas State and Connecticut.
Kansas State and Connecticut, we'll post those two. I'm going to go with the Colts, Jacksonville, the 49ers, and I'm going to go with Washington State tonight in the next game, getting 4.5. And I have two college games that I'm going to post on Facebook, which you can get at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And I'm going to post Mark Shannon's, and I'm going to post John the Hawk Stevens. And we'll see you next week. Good luck, ESPN 94.